Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Circuses on the air.
The president does.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John hasn't been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
It should be Mr. Dave O. Plyer and Mr. Dave O. Schwann.
Mick Schwann. We'll call you McSchwanny. McSchwanny.
I like that.
Dave McSchwanny.
I like that.
I like that, too. I like that, too.
Good morning. Welcome
back. Good morning to you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I hosted the old-time radio show.
Yeah, I'm sorry I did not get a chance to hear it.
It was fun. We made up that Carl was in prison. He was getting plastic surgery. And we did get a bunch of people texting like, oh, really? Is that true? I said something to somebody like he's going on a cleanse. He weighs about 250. He's hoping to lose about 100 pounds. And people were like,
believed you.
They were like, yeah, hey, listen, I've been on a cleanse and it's hard to lose that weight. And people thought I was serious, which I love. So, excuse me, all good stuff. What was I going to ask you? Oh, are you doing this air climb today? Are you going someplace?
Yes.
You're going offsite, right?
We are. We will be over at Presidential Tower. Dean's program starting at 9. Shortened show today because of the Blackhawks game.
Oh, what time does that start today?
11 o'clock.
Oh, that's a quick show.
At 11.
That's a quick
show. So it is a quick show. So it's 9 to 11, and we will be there between 9 and 11.
Love it.
I'll be here as usual through 8 o'clock, and Eric Rung will be in the newsroom. I will also, and Andy Mazur will be joining us as well.
I love that. I know. I like that you and Andy are like united on a weekly basis. Now I feel left out.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's nothing that says you can't hang around for a little while.
I'm really thrilled for Andy getting more of a regular, you know, appearance here.
Yeah. On
the radio.
It's great
here
to have him aboard on Sunday morning.
Long time coming. Well, you know, St. Patrick's Day is, of course, next weekend already. I still have this cough, dude.
I know. I can hear it.
But, oh, thank you. That's, I didn't even know. Did you know Curtis plays the bagpipes?
He really does.
Yes, that's
I play a mean bagpipe.
Oh, you're supposed to be playing right now.
All right, man. We're holding you to
that
it.
That was you.
You got to do
the
it.
The jig is up.
You've got to do it. The real St. Paddy's Day is next Saturday, so you have to do this.
Isn't that amazing that the world's aligned for all the Irish pubs in Chicago and all the barbers in Chicago?
Yeah.
That, I know it's every 7 years, but, I mean, it's nice to to have that happen actually on a Saturday. But the first official St. Patrick's Day was 1753, Mayor Richard J. Daley in 1956 moved what was the South Town Irish Parade into the city, and since 1961 that's, you know, the parade's been happening downtown, but then we still got a South Side and a North Side Irish Parade anyway. Which I believe was this weekend.
Yes.
Yes. And
let's see, on Western Avenue, and then I think the north one, gosh, I hope I'm correct here.
It's in Edison Park and in Norwood Park.
Yeah, but along Milwaukee Avenue, though, right?
No, it's down, I believe it's down Northwest Highway.
Northwest Highway.
That is correct.
Yes,
that is correct.
Yes,
so I'm hoping to join them down there for a little bit
today.
Very good. The river's been dyed green since 1961. If you can believe that.
I'll never forget looking out of Marina City my first St. Patrick's Day in Chicago here, and somebody said, "Hey, the office building." And they said, "Hey, they're dying the river." And boy, you could see that green just light up the river from looking down on it.
You'd like it to be dyed like a blue or something for the rest of the year, you know? Yeah. It's such a cool effect to see that happen on St. Patrick's Day. So I plan on being downtown for a little bit next weekend as well. Now, do you have any Irish in you?
I really don't think so. I guess I need to do one of these genetic testing.
All right, I bet you do. I bet you do. Mine, how about you, Curtis?
Not sure. I'm pretty much Northern European.
Northern European.
Yeah, I'm mostly European. I do have a little bit of Irish ancestry in me.
I do not. My wife is half Irish, the redheaded girl that she is. So 125 million people will celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Let's see here. The first recorded St. Patrick's Day parade took place in Boston in March 1737, followed by the New York parade. And it wasn't until 1931 that Dublin had their first St. Patrick's Day parade. Isn't that wild? Yeah, Dublin. Yeah, that late.
It's more of a big deal here than it is in Europe, it seems.
It is, yeah. Shortest St. Patrick's Day parade, 98 feet. It's in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I don't know who the Grand Marshal is this year, but it's usually big names. Jim Belushi, Bo Derek, George West, Mario
feet.
Lopez, Mike Rowe, the folks from Duck Dynasty. It's 98 feet. And it attracts 30,000 people, which averages out to about 306 people per foot. That crazy?
Where is it again?
It's in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, the big parade with Bozo, that is next Saturday, of course, on the WGN float, which is kind of cool.
Bozo T. Clown.
Bozo T. Clown, as Dino says. Exactly.
Yeah, yep, right. Yep.
St. Patrick's Day, everyone will be wearing green, but shouldn't it be blue? The original color associated with St. Patrick was blue. But because the saint preached about the Holy Trinity through the symbol of the shamrock, and the Irish little folk were also associated with the green, it became the most common color. But if you see any images, paintings of St. Patrick, it was all blue. A little something like
that. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you automatically assume everything is green.
Yep.
And you would think because of all of the greenery and lushness of Ireland that it would be that way. But
that's true.
Okay.
That's true. St. Patrick's relics. A few St. Patrick's relics can be viewed in Ireland today. The St. Patrick's Bell and Shrines of St. Patrick's Jaw and Tooth can be viewed in Dublin in the National Museum, while Patrick's copy of the Four Gospels is held at the Royal Irish Academy. So you can see pieces of him there. It's always very weird. Catholic Church does that a lot, too, when you have a saint.
Aren't there relics of saints in various basilicas and cathedrals?
Oh, you betcha. The Global Corporate Relations Director of Guinness says, almost 6 million pints of Guinness are sold on any given day, but this figure rises to an astounding 14 million on St. Patrick's Day, almost 300 million in beer sales that day.
Have you ever had Guinness at room temperature?
You know what? My great-grandmother, who was Polish, but, you know, European, always put the beer, if it was cold, on top of the fridge to get to room temperature before she would drink it. I don't think I have. Better that way?
I don't know if it's any better. I'm not a huge Guinness drinker, a huge stout person, but I have had it. And if you just take your time and sip it, you know, don't drink it like you would ordinarily drink a cold beer or a dark beer. If you just take your time and sip it and it's a cold day, it goes down very nicely.
Nice. I might try that. Yeah. I might try that. Yeah, the folks at Chief O'Neill's. That's like an art.
I love that
to pour.
Place.
Yeah, I do.
Aren't they the greatest over there?
They are. I've been going there almost every Friday for their fish and chips. Good Catholic boy that I am, trying to not eat meat on that day.
Especially during Lent.
Oh, it is fantastic. I just love it. And you know what I do during lunch? We do pepper and egg sandwiches. And we're trying to like tour through Chicago. Holtz and Park Ridge has a good one. Portillo's has a really good one.
Portillo's does?
Yeah, they have a pepper and egg on bread, and then they also have it on a croissant. And I got to tell you, that is really good stuff. Yeah. Really good stuff.
We'll have to check that out.
Now, people say that they are not as hungover on St. Patrick's Day because they drink mostly during the day and they really get hungover at night before they go to bed. And Sunday's pretty clear. Because people are drinking in the morning, man, for that parade, the dying of the river and stuff. By 2 o'clock, you know, that's the most dangerous time on the road is midday on St. Patrick's Day.
Actually, thank you. Yes, you have a point there.
Yeah. All right. some other
amateur afternoon.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
1872, Illinois becomes the first state to require sexual equality in employment. It was the story of Myra Bradwell, the Supreme Court of Illinois, having refused to grant a plaintiff a license to practice law in the courts of that state on the grounds that females are not eligible to be authorized to practice in the state. The claim under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which declares that no state shall make and enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges and immunities of citizens of the United States, and the statute of law of Illinois, or the common law, can no longer be set up as a barrier to let females practice law in the state of Illinois. So you couldn't practice law because she was a, she was a woman. So they changed that rule back in 1872. Yeah, yeah. Excuse me, 1892, the story of the Stanley Cup begins when Lord Stanley of Preston, who at the time was serving as governor of Canada, purchased a silver bowl measuring 7.5 inches high, 11.5 inches across. It was the first official Stanley Cup. The first Stanley Cup championship was held in 1893, and the first winner? What do you think?
First winner?
Yeah.
Oh, a Canadian team.
Yeah, the Montreal Amateur Athletic Association Hockey Club at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 1899, Joseph Medill, who had been publishing our very own Chicago Tribune for the previous 44 years, died on March 16th, 1899, this coming Friday. What helped his pal Abraham Lincoln become president?
I was hoping you were going to mention that.
Yeah. He was on his deathbed, and hours before he died, pulled his physician close to him, exclaimed that his last words would be, "What is the news?"
Yeah.
And he never spoke for the rest of the day.
What is the news?
What is the news? Yeah. He had two daughters. Kate married Robert McCormick, and their sons Joseph McCormick and Robert McCormick, of course, both served as the heads of the Tribune.
That's correct.
So I always thought it was his direct sons, but it was his son-in-laws.
Son-in-laws. That's right.
Company.
Yeah. And it was Colonel McCormick who oversaw the construction of the building in which we are sitting and which we are about to vacate.
I know. It's so sad that that those days are coming.
I've got to do a before we go, I'm doing a final walkthrough of this.
We have
building.
To do that. Yeah. You know what? I was going to bring a videographer in here to film my last day on the air and walk through the building maybe an hour before the show. And
that's a good idea.
And do
and
just
then
that.
Post that.
Yeah.
Post the video.
And then I want to have Jeffrey Bear come in and join me.
Oh, awesome.
Right? From WTTW?
Yes.
Yeah,
I got to
get that going. Because when is our last day? Do we announce it yet?
I have not been told an official last
Curtis,
day.
Curtis, you hear anything yet?
The last thing I heard was it's probably going to be sometime in May.
Yeah. That's what I thought,
and
too.
I remember the controversy, or at least some of the speculation, was that if the Hawks are in the playoffs, it would be right during the middle of the playoff run. And since it's not looking so much like there's going to be a
really
playoff
isn't.
Run,
yeah.
I don't think we'd have anything to worry about.
I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right there. All right, 1928, Amos and Andy debuts on radio, but it was first as Sam and Henry on WGN. So it was 1925, the first sitcom ever. WGN executive Ben McKenna thought a serialized radio story version would work on radio. He suggested that Freeman Gotson and Charles Carell, it was two white guys, which became obviously very controversial, to play these black gentlemen, which was eventually called Sam and Henry. And then it became Amos and Andy in 1928 when it went to NBC. Now, here's the funny part of this whole thing. In 1927, 2 years after the show was airing on WGN, they went to WGN management and said, "We want to syndicate this. We want other stations to carry this. We could actually make a lot of money." And they said, "Nah, that won't work." I know, right? I mean, that was the first ever. You think about television, cable, syndication.
Sure.
That was the first opportunity was on WGN, and we turned it down. So their last program was in 1928.
On WGN.
And they went to NBC.
And then they went to NBC, and that was it. They were on for decades.
They were. Oh, yeah. They were then on until 1955. Let's take a listen.
Come on, you diamonds. Dig with me now. We done had a big time tonight.
This is Sam and Henry, by the way, not Amos and Andy. This is an early WGN recording of Sam and Henry.
Don't worry about me. I's all right. I is the most precious diamond of the
views of the...
But again, you can see what's controversial because it was two white guys playing black guys in all this. So, 1943, Frank Nitti, the Chicago Boss outfit after Al Capone committed suicide at the Chicago Central Rail Yard. He was indicted for extorting Hollywood's film industry and dreading another jail sentence. It was also rumored that he had cancer, and he decided to take his own life instead of go to jail again. He walked down by the rail yards blocks from his home in Riverside, Illinois.
Yeah.
And ended his life.
Yeah.
1961, Poppin' Fresh Pillsbury Doughboy was introduced. Let's listen to a classic commercial.
Say hello to Poppin' Fresh Dough. It's such a nice feeling to make something fresh.
Poppin' Fresh Danish Rolls. Danish rolls just taste better when you bake them up fresh and hot. Try Pillsbury Danish in the dairy case.
It's such a nice feeling, get to know.
There it is.
There's the giggle.
I know you got to wait for the big
giggle. I'm hungry now.
I know.
And my mother bought those.
Oh, yeah.
And would
same
make
here.
Them. I could
same
eat
here, brother.
The whole
can.
The whole can.
Oh, yeah.
The whole baking, what do you call it? Not the tray, but you know, a baking sheet.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
You put those on.
You know what? We still, we still have a bunch of those in the cinnamon rolls and croissants and buttermilk biscuits. I mean, it's nice addition to
Mom
meal,
would buy
Dave.
Those.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were good.
1980. Oh my gosh, JR was shot on Dallas. That was big news.
Well, yeah, it certainly was.
Well, it's not only big news, but you think about shows end usually their season in May. This ended in March, and literally from March until I think it was November, it was a very long time. April, May, June, July, August, September was 6 months before they revealed
that it was Kristen.
Oh, you blew it, man.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Spoiler alert.
It was 1980.
But
you know what, Dave? I do remember my first job in radio. And we had UPI, United Press International, teletype machines, the actual floor-mounted teletype machines that were...
Yeah, if you had a floor mounted, they'd be tipping
and
over.
And there was, they would send over, as the Associated Press does these days, an hourly summary of, international news. And I was waiting for one of those to cross, and... it was in the afternoon before they were going to air the episode as to who shot JR. And that was the lead story.
Wow.
In light of everything that was going on in the world, the Iranian hostage crisis, inflation problems, economics, that was the lead story.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But it was on the cover of every magazine for 6 months.
I mean, that's
all anybody was talking about.
Talking about hyping a program.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's listen to a little clip.
Who's that?
You went to the office that night with JR's gun. It was you, Kristen, who shot JR.
Everyone thought it was going to be Sue Ellen, by the way.
Sue Ellen?
Yeah, his wife. Because she had enough reasons to hate him.
Yes, she did.
She absolutely did. And then 1995, Michael Jordan, and I remember this, announced he was ending his 17-month NBA retirement. I remember how sad the year and a half was that he wasn't with the team those 2 years.
Played for the White Sox.
Yeah, and returning to the
Minor
Chicago
league.
Bulls. And, I mean, it was – when he came back, I hate to say it, but – I was a massive Bulls fan back then, and my fanship has waned over the years. But, man, those years with Michael Jordan.
Well, how many NBA championships in a row? They were untouchable.
Here's a little clip. Let's take a listen.
The word retire means you can do anything you want from this day on. So if I desire to come back and play again, maybe that's what I want to do. Maybe that's the challenge that I may need someday down the road.
And he did that. He did just that. He came back. All right, we'll be right back.